Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours with Terry and Robin. That's right. I am joined tonight by my best friend, my wife, my favoriteest person, my partner. Did I say partner twice? Anyway, hi, Robin. How you doing?
Hi, honey. I'm doing well.
All right. So, wow. I mean, we had an amazing weekend.
We did have fun.
And you got out a little bit, and the gods gave us an amazing, just amazing, beautiful weekend. So truly, truly blessed, and we got to wander around, a couple of shopping areas. One was very pagan-y, and it was just a great deal of fun. Got some cool stuff, so some cool Irish stuff too. Those mugs, I love our new mugs. Those are very, very special. So, and we played hooky for the weekend, and it was great. No pets, no house to worry about cleaning, no nothing going on, just. Played hooky, went to a hotel. Loved it.
Very true.
And the weather today wasn't bad. It was funny. I was having a conversation with one of the guys at work, and I was saying, the geese and the other birds have already decided that we might have one or two little shots of winter left, but the geese are already moving, and a robin appeared in this guy's yard over the weekend. It's pretty much feeling like we're moving into springtime already. So I'm excited. I'm ready for warmth and sunshine. I know you are.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was really nice to see all the geese.
Go ahead.
It was really nice to see all the geese, in flight.
Yeah, just the idea that spring is upon us. I just can't tell you how tired I am of cold. Cold and dreary and snow and I'm done. I'm just done. So, anyway, it's supposed to be like toward the 70s in Pennsylvania into the weekend, this coming weekend. So I'm pretty excited about 70s. 70 on Friday in February? Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So, tonight, we're going to be talking about a couple's communication. And as I indicated in the show announcements that went out, we're going to be talking about some of the stuff that is in our couples workshop. We get asked to do this couples communications, and really we call it couples communications, but it's really kind of a group dynamics kind of thing. I mean, it could work for couples, triads, any group of poly. It can actually work in the workplace as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about group dynamics and open communication. And we get asked to do this workshop pretty much all over the country. And we get out as much as we can and see people and do this workshop. So tonight we're going to share some of the highlights of this workshop. And my lady, I'm going to ask if you would go ahead and get started with it.
Sure. Well, one of the things that we generally cover in the workshop is how do people view the relationship that they're in? What kind of relationship is it that they're trying to exist inside and improve and make better? Is it a work relationship? Is it a love relationship? Is it a relationship of a group, a family, of sorts, even your work people, the people you work with, it can kind of become your work family. And so we examine that dynamic and why it's important to have these relationships work in as harmonic a way as possible. We spend as much time with the people we work with, generally, if not more, than we do with our own families. So it can be difficult because, people that you live with, your family, you're pretty much related to by blood. You have no choice but to exist with them. People we work with, however, it's a voluntary situation. Although we may need the money, we may need the job, we may get to a point where we decide we don't need these people anymore. And you have to decide, am I going to give up my job and move on to another one? Or am I going to try to salvage this relationship? And, funny as this may seem, there are a lot of correlations there between love relationships, spousal relationships, and work relationships. Am I going to try and salvage this marriage, this spousal relationship, or am I going to move on? We ask ourselves the same questions. So in this workshop, one of the first things we always do is try to identify the relationship, find the things that we do similarly between the relationship that we have with our significant other or our spouse and the relationships we have with the people we work with or the people we, are friends with. Where do the similar patterns happen? Do we behave differently with people at work and people who we consider to be our friends outside of work than we do with the people we have in our family inside our home? And why do we respond differently? So, whereas you might respond to a child asking you, a silly question for the fifth time differently than you might if somebody at work was asking you the same question for the fifth time. Why do we do that? And what are the triggers? And how can we be more consistent and make positive changes?
Or at least make conscious decisions.
Yes.
Whether we choose to change it or not, if we're conscious of what we're doing and why we're doing it,
mm-hmm.
then that becomes... that becomes significant. The question that you asked in your little intro there that caught my ear. And I think this comes up, I think I do this pretty much every time I do the workshop. You mentioned acting differently with the people at work and acting differently with the people at home.
Uh-huh.
And why do we treat the two as different? Why are we different at home or at work? And
uh-huh.
is that a good thing or a bad thing, or is it just a thing? I think that sometimes, and this is just my personal thought on this, based on some amount of experience, but at work, one of two things is happening in this kind of situation. Either at home, we are totally ourselves and totally open and honest with the people around us, and at work, we are a little more closed off and reserved and just doing our job and keeping our head down and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But very often what I see is the opposite, where people at work are open and excited about what's going on around them. The people at work probably know them in some ways better than the families. And that's because they're not totally free, whether that's a creation of their partner or their life, their home experience, or if that's a creature of their own, you know, thought processes, their own fears. But a lot of times people are freer to be themselves at work than they are at home. And that brings us back to the topic, communications, and creating a safe place. And I want to focus tonight in our comments on the home relationship. We can, toward the end, say how some of this can apply at work or in other relationships. But let's kind of concentrate, at least for tonight, on the home relationship and how we can use our open communication skills to deepen our relationships with our partners, significant others, whatever word, you know, insert here. And let's look at creating a safe place for that communication. Now, what does that mean, safe place? You know, Robin and I have been at different times in our lives, in our past, in relationships where we could not express ourselves, where we variously at different times with different partners that we've been with walked on eggshells is the term that we both use uh-huh. in describing this. And you're afraid to say or do anything that is going to upset the partner. And that partner is, in that regard, not allowing a safe place for communication. So if you want to have open communications, it takes both partners saying, okay, no guilt, no you did, no, you know, none of that recrimination. Let's sit and have time in a safe place to express ourselves using I comments, not you comments. Robin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think when we try to communicate with people we love, and we have a tendency to not want to upset people, especially if they're going to respond in a way that we're not comfortable with. You know, it's funny, the classic one is, oh, you know, that person is going to yell and scream and get mad. But, you know, sometimes people are really uncomfortable with others being emotionally upset, crying and just feeling sad. They don't want to hurt their feelings. They don't want to upset them. So they don't tell them the things they need to hear. Or they're afraid that they will lose respect for them. And it won't be a lot of histrionics
afraid.
Or crying or anything. Sorry?
afraid. That is a huge part of it, fear.
And so, you know, it's really about how am I going to communicate what I want, what I need to say, without getting the response that I'm afraid or living in fear of getting. And that's part of a lot of the things that we talk about in the workshop.
Yeah, very true. I mean, fear is such a powerful motivator. I mean, look at the media. I mean, look at advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Advertising is built around the idea to make you afraid of something and then sell you the solution.
Right.
You know, be afraid. Oh, but we have acne hair, whatever, that's going to make you so beautiful that your partner will never leave you. All right. am I exaggerating?
No, not at all.
And so, you know, if we buy into the advertising, we'll be afraid of everything. And, you know, and if we're afraid of everything, then we can't communicate well with our partners.
Uh-huh.
Because ultimately we buy into this person's going to leave me because insert whatever here. And and that causes you to close off, and then your partner feels the withdrawal. And then it starts into this cycle where communication breaks down and you're not expressing your needs or your wants or your displeasures in a meaningful way. And then you just decide it's time to go out and buy a new toaster rather than fix the one you got. Because we do. We live in a disposable world. We live in a world where this relationship has stopped working. I'm going to find a new one. Why did what we're not asking is, why did it stop working? And do we want to go get a new toaster, or do we really want to hang on to what we have and fix it? Do we want to look at what wires loose in that toaster and let's get the electrons moving where they're supposed to be? And you know, do we want to take that time? Do we want to put that effort into it? And that's the effort we're talking about in our workshop. We talk about tools to communicate, tools to create a sacred temple. And I know that's your term that you kind of coined and brought to the party, Robin. So why don't you talk about the sacred temple?
Well, for me, the sacred temple refers to the fact that when you are in a relationship with somebody, the relationship really is its own entity, because you were a person, an individual, before you met the person that you're in the relationship with, and so were they. So that's and you're still both of you individuals when you go to work or when you're, you know, riding in your car driving to work or driving the kids to the movies or wherever, whatever it is you're doing. You are, you know, working in as an individual. So you never really lose that, right? But what you're doing when you're in a relationship with somebody is you've created this third entity, because there's the you and the me, and then there's the we. So this we is the third
egregore.
Entity. Yeah, and
yeah,
and so
the egregore.
Yes. So as you develop and grow into that we, you have to learn how to create sacred moments and how to have communication inside a very safe place and to feed each other's needs. And that creates a way of treating each other sacredly. So, and part of that creation of that sacred temple, if you will, is the creation of intimacy, and then ultimately, you know, sexual union. So you and you want to do those things in this very sacred, respectful, deep way with each other. Now, when I say sacred and respectful, that doesn't mean it has to have, you know, a lot of stuff attached to it. It can be whatever you want it to be as long as you're both in agreement. It can be rough sex. It can be, you know, rose petals and candles. It can be 10-minute sex because you're tired. You know, it can be whatever it is, but it has to be something that you both want in that time. These are a lot of the things that we talk about, things we touch on, ways of improving and creating that sacred, you know, those sacred moments between you. And it can be something as easy as cooking together, or helping your kids with homework, working on a family project, working around the house. It extends to so many areas.
Oh, it does. I mean, it could be something. I mean, we were doing that this weekend when we played hooky.
Yeah.
You know, just talking from our personal experience. You
mm-hmm.
know, we took a weekend and ran away from home. And I was jokingly telling everybody I kidnapped my wife for the weekend. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and we created our own moments together,
mm-hmm.
working on the we. We fed the we this weekend. It was not about Terry doing this or Robin doing that, or feeding the cats, or feeding the kids, or washing this, or vacuuming that, or fixing this thing that's come loose in the house, or mowing the yard, or any of the 101 things that have to be done in a household. We just gave it all a miss and ran off for the weekend to work on we.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sacred space like that sacred temple, working on that temple, it doesn't have to only be in the times that we're naked. It can also be in moments walking on the street holding hands. It can be in a conversation when we've decided, okay, we really need to talk about a few things. And we need to sit down at the table and consciously create sacred space, whether we call on deity or do something to set that space, that time apart. And a lot of times during the workshop, we'll begin the workshop with a prayer asking the God and the goddess to come and be with us and to provide and create that sacred space, that sacred temple, where we can communicate openly without recrimination. Now,
mm-hmm.
and that sitting down at the table and being able to express yourself, we're going to be coming up on the break here in just a few minutes, so I don't want to launch into it. We'll touch on that after the break. But there are some rules that Robin and I have experienced and kind of codified that we discuss, and we're going to hit again the highlights, but some guidelines more than rules for open communication, a way that allows both partners or all partners, you know, whether it's a triad or, you know, two groups coming together, whatever the dynamic is, that time of communication with all the members. In fact, when it's multiple partners in, you know, triads or more in a polyamorous situation, communication becomes even more critical. Where you want to make sure that everybody is on the same page and working together as a unit. And that's often more difficult and takes a little more work. Now, for those that are into that, it's very much worth it. But it does take effort, and you have to feed it. You have to want it to thrive and succeed as an egregore, as a weed. And that takes a little bit of effort. And I think that that's what I see a lot in the people that we talk to, some of the couples, and just in our observations of lives, life and in our past experiences, people choose not to put the work into it. They decide it's not worth the work. And they just give up. And I think in a lot of ways that's one of the saddest things I see is when people just give up.
Yeah.
So, Robin, just before the break, did you have anything you wanted to add before we go to the song?
No, no. We're doing good.
Okay. All right, well, I'm just in a mood to hear some Barb the Bard, and I'm not going to play one of my usual songs. I'm going to play a song called Pagan Ways. And, it's just a Barb the Bard song I like. So I'm flipping the switches, and that's what we're going to play tonight. So we're going to play that, and we've got an ad and some things we've got to do. But everybody, stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Do you know that Jack lives? that the truth is held within a tale, and Arthur sleeps now, ready to return.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha De Yah, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to The Power Hours with Terry and Robin. How you doing over there, Robin?
I'm doing really good.
All right. So before the break, I was kind of teasing that we would get into talking about some guidelines for open communication. But before we do that, I do want to let people know that for about 15 minutes or so, we will take some calls. If anyone wants to call in, if Blog Talk Radio is working and lets us take calls tonight, you can call in at 646-564-9714 and ask any questions that you might have, and just join the conversation. Again, that is 646-564-9714. So, open communication. And sitting down and having the talk doesn't have to be scary, doesn't have to be a talk. It can be just an opportunity to sit down and openly share. And I hinted at a couple of guidelines when I mentioned this. I'm going to mention my top two, and then I'm going to ask Robin to jump in. But my first rule is, or guideline, however you want to word it, but the first idea is to not use you comments. You did this. You made me feel bad. You spent that much money, or you didn't do this, or you, stop. Stop. My second one is, instead, use I comment. I felt, I perceived, I experienced this. When that happened, I felt, or I thought, this is what was going on. Own your stuff. I can't say that strongly enough. Well, I could, but it's, you know, family radio, so I try to watch my language. But own your stuff. Now, really, if there's one thing that I see as I talk to people, as I look around, as I interact in my workplace, so many people are throwing you around. And I perceive that as a problem. See how I did that? I perceive that as a problem. Own your stuff. Nobody can make you feel anything. You choose to. Own your stuff and say, I felt, I think, I whatever. When you do that, you take responsibility for yourself, and that allows someone to come toward you rather than being pushed away. You comments build walls, and I comments throw ropes and pull people to you. Robin, what do you have there?
Well, I was going to say one of the things that I see frequently are people needing to feel they're right. And I think this is one of those things that in relationships you really need to let go of, because you may think that your point is the most valid point, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the person you're having a conversation will always feel that way as well. And there tends to be a feeling of, why can't they see I'm right? Why can't they see my point of view? Don't they understand, you know, I'm smarter? Or don't they understand that this is a better way? Or don't they, you know, why don't they see that I'm right? And then it gets to be a tug of war about who's right. Well, I'm right this time. Oh, no, she's right this time. I'm right this time. And you start keeping score. And there's nothing more alienating than having, you know, somebody constantly feeling that they need to be right. Well, I'm right. And it really breaks down effective communication. Because truly, there is perception, and I say this all the time, if people who listen frequently will recognize this. If you're the lion on the Serengeti and you are killing a zebra and you take that zebra back to your lion pack and you feed the pack and everybody was hungry and you are a hero in their eyes. Mm-hmm. However, if you're the zebra family that is now missing one of its members, that hero lion that the pack sees as a hero, that lioness who has, you know, fed the pack, not so much heroes to the zebras. So it's a matter of perception, whether you're right or wrong or good or bad. And you, what really is happening when you're talking to somebody is you're sharing your perception of what is going on. And your perception may be completely different of their perception. You know how you always hear, you know, police will interview lots of different people who witness the same, say, car accident or the mm-hmm. same robbery, and they'll get wildly differing details. And it's up to them to try to find the similarities. And really, that's a lot of what relationship communication is about. You got to weed your way through all the differing perceptions and the different things seen in something and find the similarities and bond to them. And again, nobody's right. Somebody will say that the guy who stole grandma's purse had a blue jacket on, and another guy might say he had a green jacket on, or another person might say he wasn't wearing a jacket at all. So you and maybe none of them are right. That was their perception. And another thing mm-hmm. that people who listen to the show a lot will hear me say, from a psychological standpoint and a physiological standpoint as well, our eyes are really how we take a lot of information in as human mm-hmm. beings. And our eyes actually project what we see onto like this sort of big screen in our brain, But when our eyes project it onto the screen in our brain, everything is upside down. And sometimes our eyes might malfunction slightly or not see something that we or see something that we can't comprehend, don't understand. And in this process where our brain takes the information off the screen, turns it upside down, our brain will autocorrect anything that it sees that it doesn't comprehend. And what it does is it takes things from our past perceptions and things that we know, and it fills in the blanks with what we know.
Mm-hmm.
So this, this effect, this affects our perceptions and how we see things and how we experience things and why we all experience things so differently. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, because everything is filtered through our individual experiences.
Correct.
I was listening to something on the radio today or sometime in the recent past, and they were talking about people need to tell the truth. People, the media needs to report the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck by that because that's not the job of reporters, nor is it necessarily our job in communicating. We're not expressing truth. We're expressing facts. The truth is a much different concept, and it's a more philosophical concept. Religions deal in truth, and people need to deal in fact. So expressing our perceptions is an I felt statement of fact. It is not a truth.
Be true for that person, but it's still subjective to their perceptions.
So it is, therefore, a fact. It is not representative of the greater truth. We're not expressing truth. Truth is bigger than I felt slighted by someone who, some waitress that didn't come check on us often enough. That's a statement of fact. It is not a truth. Truth may be that person was very busy in other places or was having, a problem with their significant other.
Uh-huh.
So it's important to understand that when we're communicating with other people, we need to stick to fact. The truth will work itself out. And the philosophy and the truth of a we will be different than the truth of another we. The truth that Robin and I find will be different than the truth that, our best friends find in their relationships or our coworkers at work. That truth is within the unity of the we-ness of a relationship. And it's going to fluctuate over time. It's going to fluctuate from group to group. So when we're expressing ourselves, we need to stick to facts and factual expressions of our feelings. And I know guys are sitting there going, I don't know if I'm on this feelings. You know what? Grow up. We as guys are taught and programmed by society, boys don't cry. Boys don't do this, be tough, man up, blah, 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 stroke, bullshit. We feel just as deeply as the other, biological gender. We are taught not to express it the same way, and in some ways we don't express it the same way. And our perception of those feelings is going to be different. Our fears are going to be different as men than fears that women have. In a lot of cases, the fears are different. They're based in different places. understanding those differences, communicating with your partner, learning to say, I feel this, I felt that, is in some ways tougher for men because we're taught not to do that. It's time that you teach yourself to do that. And you know, a lot of times, and this is just a, you know, I mean, I look forward to your letters, you know, cern.org@gmail.com. But it is my observation that men tend to say a whole lot of I think, and women tend to say a whole lot of I feel. And if that's not a bad thing. I'm not making a judgment. I'm making an observation. And my suggestion is that if men try to express more I feel and women try to express more I think, then we can build stronger relationships as partners by looking at the other and feeling and expressing and thinking in a way that is harmonious rather than, well, you never talk about your feelings. Well, that's not helpful either because it's a you statement. So those are some of the things that we talk about, some of my observations. And, of course, attend one of our workshops and you will get a ton more of both of our opinions. Robin, what did you want to add before we make our special announcement?
I think that it's one of the bravest things that people can do is to reach out and say, I really care about the person or people that I'm in a relationship with, whether it's my work group, my friends, my family group, and we're struggling and I want to make it better. You have to be really brave to want to make change in a relationship and to make it better and to go forward happier and relieved of a lot of the baggage and emotional guck that we carry around with us. When you learn some of these techniques, it makes it so much easier to wake up in the morning and be happy to be going out into the world as who you are. I cannot describe for people the weight that is lifted when you can wake up in the morning and know that you're in a safe place, in a safe relationship. You don't have to walk on eggshells and watch what you say because you might make them mad. Or, oh, I can't tell them $5 on a shirt because, you know, I promised them I wouldn't spend any more money. Or, so much less anxiety, so much less stress, more energy, more happiness, more joy, more love. I mean, who doesn't want that? And so this is why we do this work. This is why we want to help other people. Both Terry and I have been through so much in our lives. I'm 55, he's 56, and we're just, and there's, you know, what's that, 111 years of life experience right there. Learn from our mistakes. Yeah, learn from our mistakes and let us show you some of the things that we've learned over the years, hopefully we can alleviate some of those, you know, uncomfortable feelings, some of that stress, some of the anxiety. Because I'll be honest with you, how many times have you had something that you really liked but it breaks or it gets old and kind of goes out of style? And so you discard it or you put it down in the basement, you know, on a dusty shelf somewhere, and you go out a few weeks later and you guess what? You buy a new one. But you know what? That new one doesn't work as well as the old one. It's not quite the same. It doesn't have the same feel or shininess, or it doesn't toast the bread just the right way. It just doesn't seem to be as high a quality as the one I had.
And you remember that toast that you made with it back about 2 years ago on that special morning when you made that toast, and it was so perfect, and that's all now on a shelf somewhere.
Exactly.
And you got this shiny new toaster that just makes toast.
Yeah. And,
is it
and
better
it's
toast?
It's not the same. Right. Yeah. So we are such a disposable society. There is such a need for people to be able to effectively, gently, with compassion and love in their hearts, communicate with each other. I guess that's really my bottom line.
Okay. All right, well, special announcement. Bum, 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 bum.
Okay.
Okay. Fanfare. Come on.
The fanfare. You should have had some music queued up for that.
Yeah,
we'll
I don't have any fanfare sound effect. I need to, yeah.
We'll have to work on that.
Yeah, a little fanfare sound effect for the announcement. In my in my fingers here. On the 2nd of April, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or evening, however you approach 5 o'clock p.m. On a Sunday.
Eastern
and
Standard
that is 5
Time.
O'clock, that is Eastern Standard Time, thank you, which would be, 2 o'clock on the West Coast. We are going to be conducting a live webinar event presenting a fuller version with live feedback from participants and question and answer sessions and that sort of thing. We're going to be doing a live workshop. It's going to be $25 per login. We were going to say $25 per couple, but what happens when it's a triad or poly group that's largely just, okay, $25 per family unit login. And join us and let's fix the toasters instead of throwing them away and buying new ones.
Let's create
that's
sacred temples.
That's what we're
temples.
Offering. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's create sacred space and learn to communicate. Learn to open up, and you know we've got much more. I mean, certainly we're scratching the surface in the 40 minutes or so that we have available to us between the breaks. And so you can email us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com and ask for the details. And we will get it worked out for accepting payments with a PayPal account. And we will be running this on probably GoToMeeting. We're still working on some of the technology or GoToWebinar. But anyway, $25 a login. We expect it to be couples or triads, groups like that. If it's just an individual and you want to learn how to do better next time, or if your partner doesn't want to attend and you still want to get the skills, by all means, individuals are welcome as well. And that is 5 o'clock Eastern Time on Sunday, the 2nd of April. Let us know if you are interested, and we will get you registered for the event. Robin,
you know,
how else does someone get in touch? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Even if you're, you know, it's you and your best friend and you're both having issues in your individual marriages, you know, Sally might be married to Joe and Sarah's married to Philip, and they both, you know, how women get together and talk about, you know, their relationships. And even if two ladies or two men who are in, you know, relationships with other people.
If I said that, I would be in trouble.
No, you wouldn't.
If I said that, I would be in trouble.
No, you wouldn't. Guys talk about relationships, too. I mean, meanwhile, they usually do it during, you know, I don't know, football or whatever, when they're watching football. But you know, sometimes you realize realize, hey, I need to talk to somebody, and it would be great if I could have some input from a, from some other perspective, and that's what we're here for. So if you want to, you know, even if it's that, family groups who are having issues, if you have an issue with somebody that you work with and you want to know how better to communicate with them, this workshop is for you. It's not just for romantic relationships.
Now, by all means, anyone who feels like you could gain from learning some communication skills and group dynamic work,
okay,
certainly attend the webinar. It will be worth it to you.
Absolutely.
My lady, how does someone get in touch with us?
You can reach us by emailing us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You can also reach Terry or I on Facebook, and my Facebook page is Robin A. McKeon, and Terry's Facebook page is Rev Terry Power HP. And you can also reach us at Little Stonebridge Pathworking's Facebook page as well. If you do send Terry and I an email, at the littlestonebridge@gmail account, be sure to put something in the subject that will delineate that this is an important email, something we need to read. So, you know, put in there workshop request or question about the upcoming couples communication workshop, or just couples communication workshop, that'll get our attention, or, you know, topic
something
for a show.
Something to set it apart from the 100 emails a day we get from people,
exactly,
that we, you know, that want to sell us something. And we
right.
get a ton of that and cannot unsubscribe fast enough.
Yep.
So set yourself apart. Be unique. All right. A couple of quick programming notes. I believe I don't have my calendar, so I'm not going to even bother with that tonight. I will remind you.
Well, I do have one.
Sunday night. Oh, yeah, you do. Go ahead. Let's do that first. You're absolutely right.
Well, the weekend of June 9, 10, 11, I believe,
yes,
is the Sumera Fest that Hands of Change is putting on in central New Jersey. It's in the sort of Manalapan, actually Marlboro, the North Marlboro area of New Jersey. That's in, I don't know if that's Monmouth County still. I think it is still Monmouth County.
Oh,
but
it's
anyway,
a little south of Rutgers. But anyway.
It's going to be a kind of like a Ren Fair, if you've ever been to one, except this one is not going to be people from the Renaissance time period. It's going to be people from Sumeria. So it'll be people wandering around in Sumerian garb. You can talk to them. They'll be interacting with you. There will be vendors. There will be classes and workshops and food and fun. And it's a family-friendly event, so feel free to bring the kids. And they're going to be doing lots of cool Sumerian-themed things. So come check it out.
Yeah, and when you go to the website, handsofchange.org, you can also keep checking on it. The registration form is up and running. And there will be, at some point, I'm not sure if they're there yet, some costuming ideas so that you can make and wear your own Sumerian-themed garb to this
mm-hmm.
event. That's why we're having it in June, because, you know, if we had it in February, and Sumerian clothing is a little, you know, light for that. So, but it's going to be a great deal of fun. You'll have a chance to interact with Robin and myself. We will be there. I, at least, will be one of the characters. I'm still working on convincing Robin. And we will be doing some workshops and interacting and meeting people. So come out and see us and attend a great family fun event. And learn about the Sumerian pantheon.
Yep.
And
I'm looking
also
to
let people know that in October we will also be appearing and being present and I think doing probably a couple of stage announcements at Caldera Fest 2017 or Caldera Fest 2, however you're approaching it or numbering it. But we will be at Caldera Fest in Lafayette, Georgia in October. We'll get you the date and have an ad started here fairly soon. Let's see, Sunday nights, you want to tune in and listen to An Emerging Forest with Alan Ritter. On Monday nights, Voice of Olympus with Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory. Of course, Tuesday nights, here we are. Robin and I have the Power Hours, and we teach and have ritual. And then on Thursday night, Robin and I round out the week with Under a Shady Tree, where we talk with all kinds of cool and interesting people. Last week we talked with Ginger Doss, and we're working at filling up the calendar with just a bunch of interesting people, authors and energy workers of a variety of sorts. And so tune in and check us out. Right now, four nights a week. We've got a fifth show that is on hiatus right now, but we'll be back. So I think that's about it. Again, 2nd of April at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, $25 a person, live webinar, couples communications workshop with Robin and myself. So get us an email and get signed up. Robin, did you have any final thoughts before we say goodnight?
That's it. That's pretty good. I hope everybody joins us on April 2nd. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. We don't do these webinars very often, so take advantage of it while it's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, learn to communicate with each other openly. Create a safe space to do that. Remember, use I comments. And have a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.